On this episode of He Said, She Heard, I am joined by Joan and Jane, the therapy twins, former therapists turned comic authors. All this and more on He Said, She Heard.
He said, she heard about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
He said, she heard about what's going on. About what's going on.
Welcome to He Said, She Heard, and I'm your host, Mike Fox, and we've got a great program for you as well. This is going to be a great episode. It's going to be a feel-good, laugh-out-loud episode, and one song comes into my head as I'm getting ready to introduce, and I can't even tell you, these next two guests, that's right. But the song that was going to come into my head was a song called... two heads are better than one, from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, because that's definitely the case with these two guests. They are the authors of the funniest self-help book you'll ever read, Under the Hood, How We Hotwired Our Brain, Calm the Fuck Down, and Let That Shit Go. Let me introduce the therapy twins, Joan and Jane.
Joan and Jane, former therapists, now they are comic authors, identical twins. Welcome to the show. Joan and Jane, former therapists, now they are comic authors, identical twins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
I don't know. Do you know that we're Italian?
Well, that's even better. Yeah, that guy is from Piacenza, Mattia Signoroldi. Wow, yeah. So first generation, I take it?
No, second. We're second generation.
Second generation.
And they say that one of the things I read 1,000 years ago was second generation has a harder time than first generation, because now we're really trying to be an American. And depending on your culture, wherever your ancestors are from, like with Italians, we're naturally enmeshed, codependent, all those words that people
aggressive.
Say. Aggressive. You know, we've got all those words covered.
Well, Joan and Jane, it's great to have you on the show. And I just love the title of your book as well as the subtitle. It's just so funny.
Is that funny or what? We had to do a funny book, because otherwise we wouldn't even write it if it wasn't funny.
You wouldn't even.
It would be so boring that I would get worse. I'd actually regress. Absolutely. Which I did while we were writing it. I think we both did while we were writing it. And the funny thing is the more serious I wanted it, the more we fought and the worse we got, until I remembered something my son said to me. I think I was around 40-ish. And he said, "You really can't take a joke, can you?" She couldn't. And you know, I didn't believe in spanking, right? And he was maybe 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to throw him off the third floor balcony, because that's where we lived at the time. And but then I took him seriously, because, you know, sometimes out of the mouth of babes, you know, or your own kid might have observed something about you. And as upset as I was like, Jesus Christ, I got to do the humor thing.
Yes.
So then Joan took the lead, and we kicked out, as we were editing it, we kicked out anything that was like not funny at all, or
and anything that you couldn't speak. You know, that's why we call it an ADHD friendly book, because I sometimes start from the bottom of the page, and I don't know how I got through school, but I did. And I can't read a really, really dull self-help book that wants you to reflect. So I wanted to bypass, you know, some of that hard work. So there you go. And some of these tips actually worked for us. They're some of them are hard.
Okay. That's like taking bones out of a fish in a way, because then it's like, okay, all the people got to do is just eat it up and enjoy it. And that's great, because when it comes to self-help, when it comes to looking inward, it's an unpleasant experience for a lot of society, a lot of people. So the fact that you can make it funny makes people feel, okay, you know what, I guess I'm going to feel better after this and get some laughs along the way. So it doesn't sound like a bad idea. Why don't we dive right in?
Because a lot of it is a lot of it is offering people a little hope at our expense. And what I mean by at our expense is that a lot of people don't want to appear vulnerable by admitting that, for example, a big taboo in our country is to admit you have postpartum depression. Like, to admit that, you're like not a good mother now. And we all saw what Tom Cruise did to Brooke Shields.
We like both of them, though.
And I like
we like everybody.
Yeah, we like everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good that you can look at it from both sides.
Yeah, because if you don't look at something from at least one other point of view than your own, then really you are just a dictator, the judge, the jury, the everything. Like, I don't understand how anybody would be happy about living a life as just that. It's so isolating. But when you join with other people, and we know you, everyone loves the fall guy, the joker, the comedian. That's the person who lightens up the room and gets everybody else talking. You know, bless the queen who passed, because I really did have a goal to be in a ladies' room, probably at Buckingham Palace, of course, is where I would like to use the ladies' room, with the queen. Like, so now there's more than one stall and there's a few sinks. And I know that I could talk about lipstick with her. I know I could. Any woman can talk to any other woman or man who wants to wear lipstick. It will break the ice.
It will break the ice.
Yeah.
That's an image in my mind right there. Now, how did describe this? I don't want to say treacherous, but then again, it probably was treacherous along the way, but it was also funny too. How you went from therapists to comic authors. Describe that amazing journey.
I'm the younger twin, and I didn't want to even be a nurse. So I did. I followed in Jane's footsteps continuously.
Yes.
And she said, please don't go to the same college as me. Applied. And then when I got into her college, she said, please just write down and don't put my name down as a roommate, because we need friends, she said. I thought friends were just overrated. I put her name down as the roommate. But anyway, I eventually had to drop out because I actually finished. I went an extra semester and got some sort of associate's degree. I did. I did finish that. But yeah. But anyway, Jane then went on to become a psychiatric nurse, and then she a psychiatric therapist, and she started prescribing meds and all that. So I said, please don't leave me behind. So she actually went on the interview for me to become a nurse. So boom, I got that. I feel bad for people today that don't have an identical twin, because there are some things that hold you back. And if you, I just read a thing too. It said, God gave you assets, use them. Well, I'm using it. I'm the identical twin thing. So she helped me. And I was always a comedian anyway. So I brought laughter. Yeah. And I would be sitting with clients, and we would hear laughter coming from the other room.
They thought therapy was too much fun on my end.
Basically would rather have done the laughter thing. And I also found the less I used to wear like dress up clothes, you know, like business attire.
She did.
Casual business.
Yeah.
And then as I started doing less and less dress up, the patients liked that better and were revealing so much more about their lives. And it was just, everything became so much more refreshing, because laughter is the best medicine.
They would tell me things that I never even asked, you know, it's like, I always told people too. Could you please leave one thing to yourself? I always tell all humans this. Leave something to yourself, because when you tell 100%, some of us feel so exposed that we like retract back into a shell, that we verbalized too much of ourselves. Now we feel really exposed. But that didn't work either. The more we laughed, the more they told me stuff. But then I would take it home, and I didn't want that extra stuff, especially if it included animals. I don't want to see that before I go to bed. So
you know. But anyway, like Jimmy O. Yang, I think. I keep saying his name incorrectly, that poor comedian. Jimmy O. Yang. I think I call him Lang. Like he opened my eyes. We saw a stand-up and he said, like every comedian knows, you remember that point of when you were being bullied or abused and you want to make people laugh. And he's right that I do. I remember that point and I did. I turned into the comedian. I did. Anyway, I love it. So I have stand-ups myself before I go to bed. She hears me laughing on the other side of the apartment. You know, and you know, the other funny thing is too, because I'm always trying to do a little extra work. So one of the coping skills that I use is, let's say my day didn't go that well, that, yeah, you know, maybe my older sister and I had some words that I, yeah, thought, darn it, why did I do that again? Like, why?
Right.
So what I do before bed is I replay the scenario and I try to speak the way I wish I had spoken. You know, instead of saying something rude, you know, I could have said, geez, I never thought of it that way. Or, you know, something light and airy to move my ego off to the side. And as I'm doing this boring, you know, I've got this new script going that's so much more loving, right? Mm. I hear laughter coming out of the other bedroom and I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Joan has the ability to, with all that laughter, it does change your point of view faster than me rewriting history before I go to bed, like I'm studying notes to an exam. The laughter switches her point of view quicker, more quickly than it would if you did something more serious, in our opinion, so that she, by the time she wakes up, she really is, you know, hit that refresh button and ready to go without any negative feelings about the other person. And I don't want that shit brought up the next day. You know, it's like, pretend you were not a bar, because there are people who can't, yeah, go to bars, but pretend you're in a bar. And we just saw this in a show. It was hilarious. The guy said to his best friend, do something stupid right now so I don't look like a fucking asshole. And he did. It was wonderful. And when I talked to my older sister and we've said words, we both already know, we've already had a code. We're going to hang up. And the next time we speak, Lori and I are, it's as if we have amnesia. Yeah. Lori and I just move right into, it's a new day. And that's how I like to, okay, I can be vicious. So the fights before probably needed an apology and shit with my exes. But other than that, they could take it. And they're still in contact with both of us almost daily. So they not only can take it, but they moved it off to the side.
Wait, your exes keep in touch with you?
Yeah, because they're so forgiving. Because in a relationship, when I get into a relationship, mm-hmm, if you really do love somebody, mm-hmm, I don't care if it's going to get bad. You said you love me, so therefore, this is going to have to be worked out. And I am more like a guy in that way. In our relationship, you can look at it that I'm really the one that just wants to punch, get over it, and we're done. Now, let's not speak of it. But she does want sometimes, she wants changed behavior. I get it. It's deserving. And sometimes she asks me things like, but why are you sorry? And I don't know sometimes.
Well, if she doesn't believe in, you know, that I'm sorry, and too many I'm sorries obviously don't mean a lot of things. Change, yes, behavior is what we're looking for.
Yes.
But if she says she's sorry, I do wonder, well, what part of that are you sorry about if you're actually going there? But that, you know, I could get hit by that as well. Like, I understand why someone might want to hit me if I spoke.
I think one day I just said, tell me what I'm sorry for, and we'll just go with that one, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm willing to apologize because Jane read this. Sometimes when you're apologizing, it's because the relationship is more important to you than being whatever you thought was correct. And that's why we loved your podcast name. He said she heard, because that is why people don't get along. It's 100% because I don't hear what they were saying back to me and vice versa.
Wow.
A lot of times we hear attitude, we hear anger. We're not, yeah, really listening. And if anybody thinks the Joan, I felt sad when you said blank, if anyone thinks that works in something other than a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant area. I felt sad when you
That, I'm sorry.
See, she pointed, and that means
the other person's already calculating their next move.
That's passive aggressive too.
They read the art of war.
Yeah.
I want to hear what.
That's passive aggressive too, because like said, I'm sorry when you did this.
Yeah. Wait, try to keep saying the I word when you're upset with somebody else. It gets hard.
It's hard.
It does, because then they have to own it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that helps, though, we came up with this, so people have to come up with it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if in the morning, if you don't want to speak of the embarrassing shit that you all vomited the night before through your mouths, Jane will say something like, because she's the older twin, I think she feels a need to say it first, which is wonderful for me. I can't wait to hear if this is correct. And she'll say something like, I think I was about 6 years old last night in the sandbox.
Yes.
And I'll say, okay, I was about 3 and a half because I was way more aggressive. Well, whenever children are aggressive, I don't know what age they're aggressive because I'm a barren woman that could never have children. But because of society, and I thought I could, I was on the birth control pill for 18 years, damaging my body just so I wouldn't get pregnant. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That is wonderful news. Mm.
But going back to the sandbox, I want to go back to the sandbox.
Okay.
So if I jumpstart the conversation and admit that I acted like a six-year-old and then the other person comes back with, oh, eight-year-old, three-year-old, whatever.
Yeah.
In my head, that switches me back to, I wonder what the two kids learned. And I can only think for myself, right? Oh, wow. So what I try to do, even with my negative experiences, and please, we're 62. It takes a long time if you want to do that. I try to pull the wisdom or the lesson or whatever I learned from that example to the point where instead of this getting up and saying, I'm sorry to each other, why not people saying, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I mean, our cousin is so brilliant that when we let her know a couple of the ways we used to fight and can still fight real dirty. What she says to the one that admitted, first of all, well done.
Yeah.
You know, when she ever said to me, well done, Jane, I felt so validated that I was able to then pull out some lesson and wisdom in there.
Yeah.
How
and isn't that,
that
the point, though?
That is the point. That is the point.
Yeah. You know what else is the point? Oh, are we done? I'm sorry.
No. I was going to tell you about a surprise, but go ahead.
Well, what else is, I want people to know what else is really important is, unfortunately, human beings need to be validated accepted or affirmed. I don't like that word because it reminds me of confirmation. I had to confirm. And it's a negative.
It sounds negative.
Conform. Dogmatic. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like conform. I don't like that.
Conform.
And when you don't have that validation, if something of trauma happened to a child, adolescent, adult, and somebody doesn't validate that for them, we fare worse in our recovery. We can't get better. And that's unfortunate. That proves we're a society, a pack animal.
We can't laugh yet.
Right.
I feel that I was the boring, depressed, vomiting word child in our family of origin. And if you looked at us with a fine tooth or with a magnifying glass, you would see that I was the least affirmed person. Maybe our mother too.
Yeah.
But you could see how I kept saying, you know, hello, what about me? What about me? Now will you love me now? Will you say something now? And so Joan, it's spot on. And when our cousin says, well done, that's all I needed for that particular scenario.
And it's never too late to validate somebody or what they went through. The the thing that happens with the person as the patient, and that's me, I was a patient and on the other side as a provider. What I did was I vomited to my friends, and that's not the greatest either. So how do you unvomit is what happened, what eventually helps, because some people can't go positive. I was one of them. I was the most negative. I would think I'd ignite into fire if I walked into a church. I'd say, oh, no, I can't come to church. I'd burn. You know, that's so negative, Joan. Joan of Arc, though. I was thinking. Anyway, I completely forgot where we were going.
Suicide.
So when a whole group of people, because I just learned one in three LGBTQ, et cetera, they're not being validated for their lifestyle, which means I guess they're not being affirmed. It's not a friendly home. One in three. That is why they are attempting or committing suicide. We keep learning that the body remembers, the body keeps the score. You may think you're better, but all of a sudden, you know, I've been suicidal as well. Why? I actually felt that I had black on my thinking. Is suicidal. I did not fit into society. I actually felt that the world would be better off without me. So I wasn't feeling affirmed in what I went through. That's all.
And that's why we want natural born comedians to stay with the laughter theme, because they are super deadly on the opposite end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody once said to me, and I would love to study all the religions of the world, but I have not. Mm-hmm. But somebody once said to me, it made so much sense for Muslims to become a terrorist in terms of it being the most peaceful religion. And I thought, well, I know Catholicism's not the most peaceful, because I know a little, I've seen some of those movies. Because
it was hostile growing up.
I've seen some of those movies, and you know, you had to do confession and all that.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you don't mix that yin and yang, negative and positive, if you can't bring it all into one wonderful thing, we have worse outcomes. Like Joan said, we fare worse. And that's, you know, love, hate.
Yeah.
Up, down.
But you have a surprise for us.
I got somebody who just called in, actually, a couple, believe it or not.
Okay.
They're from Australia. And when they found out that you were coming on the show, they said, yeah, we got to come here. Lydia and their husband's name is Dick. Calling in from Australia. So let me see if I got them connected. So,
okay.
Yeah, let me see. Lydia and Dick, are you there?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. Could you hear them, Joan and Jane?
Yes,
we hear you. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
I'm here. I was just feeding the dog. He loves that chair. You can say tits and it's all right. I can't speak for Lydia, but we're not ashamed of our last name.
You guys okay? What's going on?
How are you going, Mike?
I'm going well. That's I don't know if Joan and Jane, you know this, when they say how you going in Australia.
Yes.
That's a way of saying. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, did Jane not answer? She usually is the appropriate.
Well,
Joan,
no, Joan said, Jane.
How are you? Oh, okay.
How you going, Joan and Jane?
Oh, we are going very well today. Very, very well. We have terrific coffee. How about you?
This is fantastic getting to meet you.
Yes, isn't it?
How much does a stamp
cost?
Well, I was only a child, about 11 or so. I walked in on my mum with the plumber, and he wasn't really doing any plumbing at the moment with my mother.
Oh, boy.
Him and my mum were covered in sheets, and their alibi was they were in a Greek Revival theater group. My parents divorced after that. 30 years later, I'm coming home from work, and I enter through the kitchen door, but I didn't open the door right away. I overheard my wife talking to the plumber in a very flirtatious voice, and even talking about her bra.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
So, Joan and Jane, my husband overhears the plumber asking me about a pipe that was leaking. I used an old brassiere to tie up the pipe to prevent the leak from wetting the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened next?
Yes, what happened next?
I walk in and they were fully clothed, and lo and behold, she explained it was just a leak. But it was clearly a leak from my past as well. And what made this more bizarre and surreal was that the plumber turned out to be the son of my mom, of the plumber that I walked in on 30 years prior with. So I'm having a hard time letting go of the past. I'm really worried Lydia's going to leave me if it's going to get too much for her.
Honey, don't beat yourself up. That's why we're here on this podcast talking to Joan and Jane. They're here to help you.
How can I let this go, Joan and Jane?
First of all, let's validate that the body remembers, and the, I don't know if you've had a panic attack or certain symptoms, which are totally normal, that because that reminded you of the past there at that moment, you are supposed to be allowed to regress, just putting it out there. And then Jane will tell you how to let it go.
Well, one of the things is, yes, yeah, you should be. Let me tell you the story of someone who suffered from addiction and how he explained how he did this with his wife. So part of addiction is lying, cheating, and stealing. And it was lying that bothered the wife, surprisingly enough, the most. So he got sober, but he found that he obviously still lied to his wife, because early recovery, we aren't better yet. So yeah, what he and his wife spoke about is, I'm going to say some really stupid things every once in a while, yeah, because I guess I still lie. It's second nature. She's going to come up. They're going to come up with something together where it's okay. Because you getting angry, you getting insecure, you getting devastated, you can't deny your feelings. So your feelings are real. So if I believe as friends, as a couple, as a parent and a child, that if people don't talk about this is okay to say during these times where I'm regressing, then we're just going to butt heads.
Because it'll come out later at a holiday or at a gathering, and you don't even know why you're being so cutting and so undermining. And it's because that shit wasn't resolved.
Right.
Right. So this one of the things I hope that you guys could do.
Have a great day, yes. Jane. Oh, Jane, and thanks again, Mike.
Oh, wait. Are you there still? Hello? What did she say again?
This was wonderful.
That's okay, because I was just going to give another Jane.
Have a great day, Joan and Jane, and thanks again, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
I'll give it a try.
Thank you, Joan and Jane.
Thank you, Mike, for having us on.
Oh, of course. Wow, so it sounds like they're going to take your advice. Wow.
Yeah.
That was great. That was great.
Well, you know, because if one person, like, you know, it takes two to fight all the time, two to tango, like they say. Mm-hmm. So if the one person who is capable at that time to change something, why wouldn't they?
Right.
Because one of the things I did with Joan was at the time when we were fighting so much, I knew that things weren't going to go. It was going to be a cutoff. And I don't personally believe in that. We weren't raised to have these cutoffs. And I'm not saying a cutoff isn't appropriate for somebody else at another time. But what I did was I started to practice viewing Joan through compassionate eyes. And it, of course, it's not all day. It was, you know, for 5 minutes to start. So what all that did was make me not snap back at her. There's not a lot of tit for tat anymore.
Right.
You know, even if the other person has it, I want to say that the minute you change, like the minute Jane changed the way she was speaking to me, in my head, I thought, uh-oh, is this a trick? I didn't know at first. But by the second or third time, I changed my behavior, and that's all I needed at the time. And I'm not going to say I haven't done that for other people in my life. And that's probably why my two exes of the longest time I've been with, those two still speak to me daily.
That's amazing.
But I also want to tell people who you can't do it. Isn't it wonderful if somebody else in your life can view you with compassion? Because I was unable at the time. And again, the body keeps the score. The body remembers. Physiologically, my 0 to 60 was warranted, just like a stroke victim can't speak sometimes. Even my stuttering was part of my trauma.
Yeah.
Anywho, that part's boring, but yeah.
Well, you know what? You're making me want to get out there and buy your book. Well, actually, I don't really have to get everyone orders your book, but yeah, I'm going to get myself a copy after I get off the phone with you guys.
Oh, wonderful. Because I believe it's still free on Amazon.
Kindle. On Kindle.
We haven't uploaded the written copy part because, as you can see, it took us forever to join here. We wanted to upload it and we didn't push the right button, but eventually that'll be there too. But yeah, it's for free.
I love the title, Under the Hood, How We Hotwired Our Brain and Calm the Fuck. Well, there's no and. I put it in there. Calm the fuck down and let that shit go. the therapy. Because
that was the hardest for me, was to calm down, and I couldn't let things go from 20, 30 years ago. And that's the hardest for people. And I also want to tell people, you have to lie to yourself to be positive. Stop saying you're a realist, because you're not going to be positive.
Right.
And you might need something to take before sleep if you're going to argue with the positive vibes that are coming through the radio. Which I had to do.
And don't forget that every interaction you have, you can either butt heads or take some wisdom out of it. You know, I had an ex-boyfriend that cheated on me. And you know what? The devastation can only last a certain amount of time. You know, the boring Jane, I found out what my character flaw was that, you know, probably sent him off to the other woman's arms. But in the end, I prefer to look at it as he did me a favor. I got to learn that particular life experience. And without that devastation, sometimes we take advantage of others in our relationships.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Joan and Jane, thank you so much for coming on the show and bringing some levity and insight, which is what your book does. And I can't wait to dive into that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope you laugh your way to some kind of healing.
Some kind of healing. Because apparently it's laugh out loud funny at our expense again. Thank you.
Good. That's what we all need. That's what I need personally. So thank you.
Thank you.
We conclude this episode with a song by John Paul, John Paul. The track is called Whip City.